Okay. Thank you very much for the invitation and congratulations for the very good combination of the presentations. I think what I want to present fits perfectly to what Jackie did before. I want to address these issues that are here on the conference, and I'm very sad that I couldn't share the experiences with you yesterday afternoon because I had to be still in Bochum at the university. So I want to share, I want to address these issues by asking if public service broadcasting should be bound to national tasks, and if not, to what degree online services might enhance the traditional DSB remit beyond these national boundaries. So I have three main theses in my contribution, which I want to elaborate. The first is public service broadcasting should embrace or incorporate the idea of being an element of Europeanization of public spheres. The second is public service broadcasting should be allowed and engage itself on the road of being part of public service media. And both, this is the third thesis, both these two elements can be combined in the sense that public service online media are the adequate means for the complex construction of European public spheres. I want to share ideas and visions with you that still have to be elaborated conceptually, and yes, I want to discuss it with you. And excuse me that I haven't brought any visualization with me to support my speech, but I think we make it like this. So I will point out the relevance of the concept of public sphere for the re-articulation of the public service broadcasting remit, and I want to elaborate this idea in a European perspective. Against the background of theory of public sphere, I will analyze, or I will look at, what is the role of media in the construction of European public spheres and what public service broadcasting has to deliver to answer the needs of European public spheres. And I want to discuss what online media could contribute to a PSB, or then public service media, serving European public spheres. So let's first look very briefly only at public sphere as a theoretical construct. Public service broadcasting is relevant to the construction of public sphere as inclusion, transparency, access, which are central elements of a deliberative public sphere in this post-Habermasian perspective that you addressed already. They have to be promoted and implemented by the media that are mainly, by media that are mainly focused on citizens, not on as on consumers. We talked about this as well. So assumptions of normative theories of public sphere can be used for a specification of claims towards public service broadcasting, as public service broadcasting itself underlies the necessity to legitimate its existence with a specific remit. A scientifically founded notion of public sphere thus can give the frame and the criteria for a part of the remit. These demanding normative elements of the concept of a deliberative public sphere, according to Habermas, they imply at least three challenges for the communication within public sphere. The first is equality and reciprocity concerning the members of public sphere. The second is openness and adequate capacity for issues and contribution combined with high competence of the members of public sphere. And the third is discourse-orientated structure, so arguments, objections, critique being an important element of this. Traditional mass media now, as the main agents of public communications, were hitherto not really able to fulfill these demands of a deliberative public sphere, as they are mainly working unidirectional as traditional broadcasters. And now, although this concept of public sphere had been, especially by Habermas, of course, been generated within the national frame, the process of European integration makes it necessary to think about the conditions of a European public sphere, or, as I will use it in a plural way, further to European public spheres. The far-reaching demands of communication within public spheres are necessary to identify the contribution of the media for public sphere. If these categories then are transferred to the political reality of Europe, and Jackie talked about this, the following elements come into consideration, and here we refer to this often criticized deficit of democracy in the EU, as you put it, the democracy gap, or I'd like Mendelssohn put it. So in this perspective, European public spheres needs democratization of the political process, so that identification in the sense of interest and participation become possible, but, and this is the part of the media, the mediation of this process, that is the representation of European politics in the media, which have to live up to their task to contribute to public sphere on a European level in many ways. So this brings us then to the question, how can European public sphere, or as I put it, European public spheres, in plural, can emerge? This is a crucial question. Will it be in the sense that the national media report and discuss increasingly European issues, and this would then create a network of European public spheres, or will there be an aggregation or and homogenization of national public spheres on a European level? So this is how it was put until now in the in the scientific community until now. So the one possibility was either a European public sphere emerges as a unique media system which contributes content and information for several European countries. But after many failed efforts to create such pan-European media, this seems to be of very few probability. And the other way, Europeanization of national public spheres take place in the sense that increasingly European issues are represented within the national media, and a homogenization of agendas and exchange of views and knowledge of the different countries take place. So this was in the beginning of this decade until the middle that it was mainly discussed. A third idea, which I prioritize here, is that European public sphere can be imagined as a complex system of into each other nested communication spaces. I refer here to the notion of communication space as it was elaborated by Kleinstäuber, who said that communication space can be constituted, or our communication space is constituted by different factors, which are technology, politics, markets, culture, and dependent on these factors, these communication spaces are then filled with different content according to their specific characters. European public spheres emerge where those factors form communicative exchange and where interest in exchange of content, opinions, and issues arise. And this is neither bound to one holistic Europe nor to national public spheres which then transgress borders, but it can be constituted around very different nucleus, and this is why I speak about this one into each other nested communication spaces. So, for example, elites in Europe form other public spheres than, for example, employees of big conglomerates, again, others than those who put ecological issues on the agenda or who are involved in cultural exchanges. So language communities as well might build, again, other public spheres. And all those public spheres are not exclusively close to one another, but open and sort of oscillating and overlaying. So the question is if, how, and where these public spheres find their expression within the media. And this brings me to the question, what is then the role of the media within the emergence of European public spheres? And here I want to address some structural considerations. If media are supposed to be interested in European issues, it is the question under which conditions this can happen. And my answer is media are interested in European issues when and if there is already a certain attention for these issues existent. So this relation is especially true for commercial media, as attention for their content is realized within the market which provides profits, very simply put. The market for European issues is the more difficult to be developed, the smaller the areas of languages are in which the media act. This is the idea of small countries, which was developed by Meyer and Trappel. But it is especially the diverse language communities on the European continent which have to be taken into account within European public spheres. So to enforce European coverage means to provide adequate resources, for example, competent correspondents, editors at home, which are able to present the issues for national publics, places within the programs, etc., etc. And it means to provide these adequate resources even if there is not yet the attention, commercially spoken, the audience's rates or the income which rectifies this input. European coverage thus needs intermediate inputs. It is a supply, but the commercial media markets works as a demand-orientated market. And these resources are usually provided when income is guaranteed, which means that there is a market already for the issues. Hence, the enforced presentation of European coverage, which is not answered by the public with a degree of attention that legitimates the input of resources in an economic perspective, incentives or pushes are necessary, which are beyond the mechanisms of the market. And this will be nearly not achieved within the logics of commercial media. And furthermore, if we follow this deliberative model of public sphere, a precondition would be that the media answer to the challenge of reciprocity, of openness of discourse, at least to a minimum. And at this point, I come to the specific role of public service broadcasting for the emergence of European public spheres. Given these structural deficits of commercial broadcasting for the promotion of European issues, a closer consideration then at the resources of public service broadcasting seem to be interesting. And of course, I make here a difference between structural preconditions and its real performance, which should be, which have to be studied empirically. From the structural preconditions, the advantage of public service broadcasting is that it can easier be integrated into the process of Europeanization of public spheres because of its obligations to fundamental cultural or political purposes. Because public service broadcasting is a form of broadcasting regulation which relies on the consensus that broadcasting has to answer certain cultural or social needs which go beyond just only consumers' interests. And therefore, it is protected, as Trine Sivertsen put it, it is protected to a certain degree from the market forces, for example, by the license fee or these must-carry regulations which we discussed. It is submit to certain obligations, for example, caring for minorities. And these privileges and obligations are secured by specific control mechanisms and structures. And therefore, I put the hypothesis that broadcasting, which is primarily not submit to commercial interests, is more likely to contribute to public sphere and as well to European public spheres in the sense of creating forums for discussion of public issues than commercial broadcasting is. So the organizational structure of public service broadcasters, the control by societal forces and guiding norms, which are laid down explicitly and rule as well implicitly, they provide the possibility to develop the enforced coverage of European issues as a task for public service broadcasters. So now what are the desiderata of Europe-related activities for public service broadcasters? We would need now comparative data for the assessment of Europe-related program to go deeper in this. And without this, it's difficult to argue. But nevertheless, compared to the importance European politics and interchange have, I think it is not exaggerated to state that the programming lags behind. Therefore, it is useful to explore what further possibilities for public service broadcasters can be drafted to contribute to this, what I call, Europeanization of public spheres. The potential that public service broadcasters provide for their contribution to European public sphere derived from the legal, human, and material resources they have. But given these resources, further desiderata are conceivable, which would position public service broadcasters as a consequent factor of European public spheres. I want to give some examples to explain this. the array of these requirements, which I tell now, that includes the idea that several of the made proposals require far-reaching changes of the framing conditions of media politics. But this was as well the sense of my intervention in the morning. We have to look at the framing of the political framing of such questions. So this just serves as a starting point for discussion about the potential contribution of public service broadcasting for Europeanization of public spheres. So, for example, the opening of transmission areas. These are de facto existent if we consider, for example, language areas in Europe where national channels broadcast into another transmission area transgressing borders. And this could be expanded systematically in a network of PSBs, for example, via contracts of distributing public channels within the cable networks and so on. Must carry question. On a more fundamental level, the enhancement of the national remits by the European dimension is necessary. For such an opening of transmission areas, which must be, of course, prepared as well technically, an extension of the PSB mission is necessary. And by examples, I looked at the mission, how they are laid down in the different broadcasting laws in the German Länder. And there are some general ideas about what public service broadcasting should represent, but the idea Europe is not existent at all in there. So this would then have further consequences in programming and content development. The prevailing tendency of the EU Commission to repel the role of public service broadcasting, of course, run contrarily to this perspective, but and thus adequate European agreements would be necessary. Then this mission or the idea of the diversity imperative could be enhanced and enriched with regard to the European reality. Diversity, so concerning opinions, formats, genres, ideas represented in the programs and so on. This is a fundamental norm, and it is a consensus within European actions in media policies. And this could be even more interpreted within European dimensions. So it is very general, the idea of structuring the European audiovisual space by media politics, which take into account an audience comprising the citizen as well as the consumer, and this affects the standardization of media politics by the EU Commission. On a very practical level, the idea is can be imagined of cooperation beyond national borders. There are already examples of such cooperation of public channels in transnational regions. For example, the Eastern German channel Radio Brandenburg Berlin cooperates with Polish television and gives common programs. And this could be extended on a European scale. Or the development, again, very practical now, the development exchange relations, reciprocal visits of journalists and program makers in the news and other departments of other PSBs in Europe. Could promote such sort of a mutual interest, understanding, and as well new possibilities of investigation beyond the existing resources. And as well, and there I already go to this idea of online media, at this stage, the use of online media by public service broadcasters for addressing audiences beyond national borders become interesting, because national transmission areas become obsolete in a certain way with the development of the internet and public service broadcasters. We and you yesterday discussed this already a lot. They have to prepare for that. They are in the middle of preparing for that. And with regard to the Europeanization of public spheres, public service broadcasting should make use of this fact. And finally, as well, the development and diversification of Europe-related programs format would be necessary. I studied the German programs, which are related to European issues a lot, and it is very, very narrow in formats which they used to present European issues. So all these proposals run against this trend to consider deregulation as the highest ranking imperative in the European broadcasting sector. But they focus on the intended utilization of social responsibility medium, which can be optimized for societal purposes. At least I'd like to talk a little about this perspective for public service online media. Until now, I spoke about public service broadcasting, how they can use it. But when they go online, there are much more possibilities. I said European public sphere can be imagined as a complex system of into each other nested communication spaces. And so the main thesis of now this last paragraph is that for this reason, what is European public spheres like, the traditional linear program flow of a national broadcaster is no longer the only adequate media platform. Communication within European public spheres and its member has to be as diverse and multi-layer organized as public spheres in Europe function themselves.